Hey everybody, it's Eric Clark with Mega Brands, Alpha Brands, Dynamic Brands, lots of brands. Thursday, November 16th, about 10 a.m. on the West Coast. And in keeping with doing quick videos of the holdings and what we see going forward, I want to talk about Lilly because the thing acts like a tech stock and it has lots of stability like a biopharma stock. So we like that. With a lot of dividend growth in between. The dividend's grown about 15% a year for the last 3 years or so. So it's a pretty low dividend, just slightly under 1%, but it grows at 15% a year. And so you're getting a nice pay raise on your dividend while the stock has done really well. Now, short term, we're a little cautious about the name. Just because it's pretty extended, you know, it kind of blasted off. I'm just looking at the chart here. It's been certainly rising for 5 years or so, but it blasted off from 464 on this, you know, obesity drug, Mounjaro, tirzepatide. You know, the only thing that matters is obesity and weight loss. And I think long term, it's going to be a very big, big story. But you know how the market gets. It tends to pull forward lots of different good opportunities. It did it with AI. It did it with obesity opportunities and sold off pretty much everything that we might want to eat or any other medications as if this was a miracle cure. We know that's silly, but it will, you know, if obesity and diabetes and chronic overweight leads to other bad health outcomes, then certainly if you cure one major problem, a lot of the others over time could right themselves. So, you know, there's a lot of potential disruption that's happening in this industry with these drugs and all of the side benefits of the drugs and what they might cure and also what they might limit use in other companies and their drugs and revenue. So there's a lot of moving parts. Certainly this thing can be a little volatile because of there's a lot of momentum and it's a pretty crowded trade. You know, not a lot's worked in healthcare year to date. Last year, they had a good year. This year, healthcare has largely been an underperformer, save, you know, United Healthcare and a few other names. So it wouldn't surprise us to see this thing pull back a little bit. We would certainly take advantage in the 500 to 525 region, basically anything under 550, we would start to be accumulating the stock again. But, you know, here's some perspective. Over the last 10 years, ending in July of 2018, you know, Lilly was a decent performer, but it was very stock market-like. You know, 10.6 on Lilly annualized for that 10 years. The S&P was up a little bit more than that. XLV, which is kind of the largest liquid healthcare ETF, was up 12.5. So it actually underperformed the healthcare sector while still kind of performing in line with the market. And then I think we started, you know, this is a big R&D firm. They have a lot of diversity. They have a pretty big pipeline. And I think people started to front run this potential opportunity within obesity before it really, you know, got going from a approvals and availability perspective. You know, the market looks forward and front runs a lot of things, but basically July 2018 until now, this healthcare biopharma stocks annualized about 45% versus the S&P at 11 and change and the XLV at 10. So it's been a radical outperformer, and that in some ways there's momentum there, and they've used that outperformance and strong currency with a stock plus all the revenue and free cash flow they're generating to do a bunch of M&A, which could lead to further outperformance. But it certainly could lead to a more mean reversion as you know, one of our calls next year is that the markets broaden out a little bit more rather than having, you know, a lot of money flow into a very small, narrow group of stocks. And so we're certainly going to get more broad, and we're looking for more names down market cap as well, because small cap in particular, small and lower mid, have been pretty big underperformers. And a lot of those earnings estimates have come down far enough, certainly close to far enough, that we would be interested in dipping down into that market cap range. But, you know, some of the details of the company, strong R&D focus, about $6 billion a year in R&D. They have a bunch of FDA approvals on the horizon for everything from ulcerative colitis to chronic kidney disease to dermatitis and Crohn's disease and cancer. And you know, they have this Q1 of next year, this FDA decision on Alzheimer's. It's hard to know how much to build into your model for that. But, you know, long story short, they do have a big, broad focus across phase 1, 2, and 3 and in review on the pipeline from everything across, you know, from Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and rheumatoid arthritis and dermatitis, psoriasis, sleep apnea, prostate cancer, immunology, diabetes, heart failure, but the major chronic pain as well. But the major focus for everybody now is obesity, chronic, overweight, all of the things that tend to happen when people are overweight and have chronic obesity, and type 2 diabetes is a big focus. So that's a big market, obviously. And, you know, for the quarter, they did about $1 billion thus far in dividends, year to date, $750 million in buybacks. And it's, you know, it's not a cheap stock anymore. And with all the growth, you probably wouldn't expect it to be a cheap stock. But they do about $33 billion a year in revenue, 16% operating margins, $3 billion in net income. And they are big innovators in their industry. And they've made a bunch of acquisitions over the last couple of years that I think, again, that's what you want your biopharma to do. You want them to organically find new cures and treatments, as well as buy companies, early stage companies where they see value and that they can get into some former or some future opportunities to build up that pipeline. So not a lot bad to say about how the management team has been executing for the last 5 years. Again, a little bit ahead of itself, maybe short term, particularly if we're correct and market, you know, money flows a little bit more broadly, things like Lilly and maybe even some of the mega cap tech could be used as a source of funds to go into other areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, what drives these stocks is good innovation pipelines, strong revenue growth, strong dividend growth, good free cash flow, lots of discoveries. And this company has all of those. So nothing bad to say other than they have been very, very good for a long time, and it's not cheap anymore. So this is one of those kind of what you pay for the growth, I think, is pretty reasonable. But on a PE basis, it's not nearly as cheap as it once was, and it's a little bit extended and overbought short term. But aside from that, we really like the name, and we'll continue to add to it on dips. So that, for now, that is the only company that we have in the healthcare space. I'd love to get some United Healthcare. I'm looking at some of the traditional pharma, you know, dare I say Pfizer, Merck, and a few others. Not really there yet. I mean, Pfizer has basically gone straight down. So I think that one's probably washed out. I just don't know how much upside there is. But for now, we're looking at a few things, but Lilly is the only horse that we have in the healthcare space. And that might change, particularly if we think the economy is going to cool off a little faster. Healthcare tends to be fairly defensive in that kind of environment. So whether we used an ETF or we just used a few of the best performers in healthcare when the market is defensive remains to be seen. But that's it for now on Lilly and healthcare. Thanks a lot.